Let's pray and open our heart to God's word now. Father, I just thank you for your people. I thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that is in this place to move and work in our lives. And I thank you, Lord, for the precious word of God, that it is powerful and alive to speak into our hearts today and to change us into what you want us to be. May you be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. We're in a series right now just simply called One Another. And this series is about us being the church that Jesus wants us to be. The scripture tells us very plainly that the church is the body of Christ, the fullness of him that fills all in all. That is not just some flowery, pretty, religious terminology. It is a spiritual truth that we need to know. The church needs to know. We really are the body of Christ in the earth today. And as such, it's so important how we live, how we conduct ourselves. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 16, it's a familiar passage. He says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." I, like many preachers, have extrapolated a whole lot out of what salt is in this verse, but Jesus tells us very simply that he's talking about the flavor. You know, I don't know about you, but I really like salt on my food. I'm trying to cut back, trying to eat healthier, and for me, part of that is eating less salt. But it really changes the flavor. And so Jesus says if it's lost its flavor, it's not good for anything anymore. We're the salt of the earth. We are a change agent in this world. And what gives us impact is our differentness. If we just blend in, we are salt that has lost its flavor, and that we're not really good for much. No, we're supposed to be different from the world. And you need to understand that. We cannot impact the world by trying to be like the world. It is such a deception. As so many people think, well, if we as Christians and at the church, if we can just, you know, get more and more like the world, then somehow we'll be able to influence them. No, we need to be more and more like Jesus, and somehow we will be able to impact this world. We got to be willing to be different from the culture around us. So many things in the kingdom are opposite from the teaching, the ideas, and the ways of the world. Now, we've all heard this, but you see, in the world, it's all about get. It really is. It's all about get. But in the kingdom, it's about give. You see, in the kingdom, it's not about getting position and power. No, it's about serving. In the world, we're taught to be proud, especially in America. Anybody ever heard the phrase American pride? I'm just telling you, we are taught in this country that it's a good thing to be proud. But did you know in the scripture it's never a good thing to be proud? That over and over again the scripture says things like God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And I'm saying these things because I'm telling you that if we're not careful, we lose our saltiness. We lose our flavor in this world, and we begin to adapt too much of the attitudes of the world in the church to the point that it just even sounds right to us. And I'm saying this because I know that some of what the scripture says to us this morning, it's hard to swallow if you buy into the attitudes and the teachings of the world. Verse 14 He goes on, he says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." When he's talking about the light of the world, he is not talking about fanfare and flash. He is not talking about personality, and he is not talking about modern technology. He is talking about how we live our lives. He says that men will see your good works and glorify your Father. You see, some people want to do good works and they want to get the glory. They want to be acknowledged. Jesus says they'll see your good works and they'll glorify your Father. That's how we can be the light of the world, church. That's how we can have an impact on this world. What this world really needs is Jesus. They need to see Jesus in His people. They need to see the church, the body of Christ, loving one another the way that He loved us. They need to see it lived out. Over and over in Paul's letters to the churches, he addresses the issue of how they should treat one another. I really believe that this series is church changing. And if we will apply these principles from the scripture and do what the Bible says in regard to how we treat one another, it will so change us as a church that the end result will be that we will have a greater impact on the unchurched, that we will be able to reach people that don't go to church. They will see that there is something real and genuine about our faith, that it is more than just some rules. I believe change is happening in this church as we live what we're getting from the Word of God. Each week we've been focusing on doing the Word. It's so important that we're not hearers only, deceiving our own selves, but we do what the Scripture says. And as we go through this series, the things that we're learning, we certainly don't want to just do them for a week. You know, we've had homework each week of what we're going to do this week to live out the Word of God. But we don't want to just do those things for a week. We want it to become a way of life for us and something that we always do. We love one another as He loved us. We are affectionate with one another in brotherly love. We pray for one another. That's not over, is it, church? No, we're just getting started. This week, we're going to change the church. We're going to change families, the workplace, the classroom. We're going to change ourselves and the world around us by serving one another in love. Galatians 5:13, in the NIV it says it this way, "You, my brothers, were called to be free. Do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." There will always be people who just want to do what they want to do. And they say, "I'm free. It's my time. It's my money. It's my life. I can do what I want." I want to tell you that is a worldly attitude. That is not what the Bible is talking about when it says you are free. In fact, if you read Romans chapter 6, you know that the only way that you can truly be free is to become the slaves of righteousness. You can't just be free to do whatever you want. But he tells us very plainly here that we are free to serve one another in love. Don't miss that last part. We serve one another in love. We do not serve for recognition. I see, if somebody gets all offended because nobody recognized them, acknowledged them, and thanked them, they weren't doing it for the right reason. We don't do it for recognition. We don't do it for penance. We feel bad about something that we've done or just haven't maybe lived up to what we should have, and so we're trying to make up for this. That's not why we serve. We don't serve for leverage. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. You see, in this world, the concept, the idea of servant leadership has even become popular in the world. But they use it for leverage. Hey, if I hang out with the guys and make myself one of the guys, and you know, and I'm all cool with the guys, then I'll have greater influence and be able to lead them. And they use serving as a matter of leverage to gain favor and influence with people. We're not using it to leverage ourselves. No, we do it for one reason and one reason only. We serve one another in love. If that's not the motivation, then it's not being done from the heart with the right reason. I'm just telling you, it has to be because we love one another. And what a powerful way to live out that command to love one another is we serve one another. I saw some great examples of serving recently at our church picnic. Mike and Brandis Hancock organized our food and prepared and served while most of us just enjoyed. And there were many others that helped prepare food, helped serve, many who came early and helped set up, many who stayed late and helped clean up. So many that just wanted to serve. They weren't looking for recognition, they just wanted to serve because they loved others. So many of you serve on a regular basis here. I know our children's department is so blessed to have so many who do it not out of obligation, but they just love the kids and want to serve the church. So many who serve as youth workers and youth leaders, and so often they work behind the scenes preparing food and cleaning up, taking care of all the details. So many that serve to welcome our guests, to serve our guests, and so many that serve as a group leader or a host home. Lots of ways that people serve. People like John Wilson, who comes early every Sunday, long before the first service. Some of you aren't even out of bed yet. And he gets here just to take care of whatever needs to be done. That's a servant. People like Heather, who serve in our sound booth. Heather does so many things, serves on a regular basis in so many ways, and yet somehow she manages to say to me every week, "Is there anything you need me to do?" That's a servant. I'm just telling you, we have a lot of great servants here, people that just give of themselves in that way. Our worship team is such a great example because of their attitude. You know, in Spirit-filled churches, the worship seems to be the number one place where there is strife and contention. I think it is because Satan hates the worship because he himself once led the worship of heaven. But because of his pride, he was cast down. And you know, it's amazing on how many worship teams pride gets in the way and somebody wants to promote themselves. And I'm telling you this because we need to appreciate the attitude of our worship team, that they're not, none of them are up here to promote themselves. They're just here to serve us and to lead us in worship into the presence of God. And I appreciate them so much. I'm telling you, all of the hours of practice that they put in, they're servants. Now, our security team, They just serve. Some of you are saying, I didn't know we had a security team. That's a good thing. That's the way it's supposed to be. Listen, we don't have any Barney Fifes on an authority kick. And I'm just telling you, there's a whole lot of people out there like that. Yeah, I'm going to be in charge. I'm going to servants. They just keep us safe. And they do what they need to do, what they're asked to do, and humbly serve. That's what we need. Do you know one of our security people, he's out of town right now on a job, but it's Robert Gracia. Robert, when he first came to the church in 2010, most people don't know this, but he committed himself to clean the church twice a week for a full year. He cleaned the church just to serve, not for recognition, not to look good in the eyes of others. Hardly anybody even knew about it. But he just did it because he wanted to serve in that way. He wanted to humble himself and to serve. So many servants that we have here. We're so blessed. People who provide meals for those who are sick or going through a difficult time. People who intercede or even go pray for others. So many that serve. And I want you to know that I think this is a great church. And I see so many serving. If you don't feel like you're really serving or have reached your potential in serving, I want you to know there's room for you. You can find your place to serve in this body. I realize that some of you moms serve others every day. And I know some of you who work in a service type job, you serve others in your work. But I want to challenge you this morning to make your serving a part of your daily life that is beyond the ordinary. To serve in a way that is not your responsibility, not your place, and certainly not your job. See, the culture we live in, it's similar to the culture of Jesus' day. People are always looking out for themselves. Nobody wants to do something that's not their job. Most people want to do as little as they have to. There's few who are willing to go the second mile. They don't want to do more than what is required. And yet it is in that serving beyond what is required that we really follow Jesus' example and obey His command. In Matthew 5:41, Jesus says, "And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him two." It's talking about in the Roman Empire at that time, a Roman official could compel you. That means they could force you. They had the authority by law to force you to carry their pack or their equipment or to provide transportation for them for up to 1 mile. And you had to do it. No matter how inconvenient, you were forced to do it. And Jesus says, go to. And most people in this world think, well, that's making it twice as bad. They don't understand the power of choosing to serve. You see, when you are compelled to do something, when you are forced to do something, there's no joy in it. But when you choose to lay down your right and serve, there's joy. You're not doing it because you have to. You're doing it because you want to. And I want to tell you, it's not just the second mile that turns into joy. Even the first one is joy because you've chosen to do what you're doing. See, the world looks at it all wrong. As long as you only do what you are forced to do, what's required of you, what's demanded of you, there's little joy. But when you choose to give of yourself and to serve others, That's where you find joy. In our culture, and sometimes in the church, people want to be in charge so they can tell others what to do. You know, the disciples argued about who would be greatest. James and John wanted to sit on Jesus' right hand and on his left when he set up his kingdom. Mark chapter 10, verse 42 through 45, it says, Jesus called them to himself and said to them, "You know that those that are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever desires to be first shall be slave of all." Slave of all. "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Jesus tells us very plainly, he didn't come to be served. He didn't come for prestige or power or position or possessions. He came to serve. He laid down his life for others. He had all authority, and yet he served. When we have authority or position or influence, it's not so that we can lord it over others. It is so that we can serve them from that position. Jesus said, in the world, those in authority lord it over those under them. But he says it's not to be that way with us, that whoever would be great must be the servant. He commands us to be servants. In this generation, it's all about my rights, what I'm entitled to, and what I want. But when we follow Jesus' example and serve others, I'm telling you, it is a stark contrast to the world around us. We are being the salt of the earth. When we serve others, it opens doors of ministry where we can impact the lives of other people. See, the Apostle Paul really understood this. He laid down his rights. He laid down his demands. He laid aside his selfish ambition. He laid down his needs in order to reach others. In fact, I think that the Apostle Paul, listen, other than the gospel, other than the truth of Scripture, he laid aside his personal opinion so he could reach people. He made himself a servant. 1 Corinthians 9:19, he says, "For though I am free from all men..." See, he wasn't forced to serve anybody. He said, "I'm free from all men. I have made myself a servant to all that I might win the more." Here's a real key for reaching people. You make yourself a servant that you might win the more. Nobody has been more effective at reaching people than the Apostle Paul. A man who could go into a town, a pagan city, where no one knew the Lord, and he would preach the gospel. And it wouldn't be long until a church was established there. And he did it again and again and again. And his attitude was that he made himself the servant of all. If we laid aside our pride and our demands and what we selfishly want and just serve people, I'm telling you that people will be much more receptive when we talk to them about the Lord. What about a church where everyone is looking for an opportunity to serve others? We're going to go to Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to read from 3 all the way down through 11. And as we start into this passage, I just want to get you on board with me. Do you believe the Word of God? Do you believe that it still speaks to us today? Do you believe that its principles are true and right? Because I'm going to tell you that some of the things that you're about to read in this passage do not line up with what is popular in this world. The attitudes of this world, I'm telling you, are strong many times amongst believers and the church. We need to decide that we believe what God says in His Word, no matter what it sounds like to the world. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. We can just stop right there on selfish ambition. You see, in this world, it's all about getting what you want out of life. But the Scripture says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, our pride. No, we put that aside. He says, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Do we believe that? Or have we been so indoctrinated with the attitudes of the world that we just can't hear it? In lowliness of mind, esteem others better than self. That you seek to lift others up. You seek to elevate others. As followers of Jesus, we lay aside our pride. We lay aside what we selfishly want. And we seek to promote others and lift others up. Verse 4, he says, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Everybody looking out for number one. Everybody's so concerned about their rights and their interests. But what we need to do is look on the needs, the interests of others. What if we did that and God took care of us? Is that possible? Is that scriptural? I'm telling you, too much of the time we act like the world, trying to get and trying to take care of our own needs, our own interests, when if we would just seek the kingdom, He said He would add all those things to us. When we truly serve others. You know, when we serve others, sometimes it's taken with skepticism. People wonder, you just do something for them that you don't have to, and they don't deserve, and you just desire to bless them by serving them. Some people will take that as you must have some ulterior motive. It's so strange to them. It's so rare in this culture that it's hard for them to just see that you really are sincere. And I want to say this. We need to make sure that we are. That there is no ulterior motive. That we just want to serve people in love. We just want to help people. And when we do, I'm just telling you that there are such wonderful benefits when you serve people. Those who choose to serve are happy people. Not those who are forced to serve. Those who choose to serve are happy people. They find the greatest fulfillment in life. People that always try to exalt themselves and push others out of the way are miserable, frustrated people. Nobody finds fulfillment in life just trying to meet their own selfish desires. They always think that one more thing, one more accomplishment will finally fulfill them, and it never does. But what does is when you serve others in love. Albert Schweitzer said, I don't know what your destiny will be, but one thing I know, the only ones among you who will be really happy are those who will have sought and found how to serve. Jesus said that He wants to give us an abundant life. And then He tells us, later He tells us, we're to serve one another. I'm telling you, this is part of the abundant life. followers of Jesus. We always follow His example. Verse 5 of Philippians chapter 2, we're going back there. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Now, some people just want to take those two verses out of context and they stop right there, but in doing so, they miss the message of the whole entire passage of Scripture. Because the very next word is, but. Yes. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was there in the very beginning. Without Him, nothing was made that was made. I'm telling you, He is God. But He made Himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. No prestige, no position, no worldly power. He certainly had all power, but He didn't seek the power of men. He took on Himself the form of a bondservant. We need to see this, that Christ's attitude, His mindset was to serve. It was an attitude of humility, not seeking reputation. He didn't act like He was somebody. He came in the form of a servant. And though He was God, He came in the likeness of men. His mindset was so different from most people. He didn't come and say, I'm king. He didn't demand that others would acknowledge Him as someone great. He didn't make others wait on Him. He made Himself a servant. Let's read on in verse 8. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God has highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And there's the turnaround, that the one who came and humbled Himself, the Father has highly exalted Him. He gave Him a name above every name. Listen, that everyone in heaven and on earth and even under the earth is going to bow their knee to the name of Jesus and confess Him as Lord. Listen, Jesus didn't demand it. He humbled Himself and the Father exalted Him. He is our example. And over the Scripture tells us that if we will humble ourselves, that in due time God will exalt us. He's the one who promotes. He's the one who lifts up. But in this world, they say, oh no, you got to promote yourself. I remember one time when I was a young minister, a well-meaning sister in the Lord told me, she said, you're going to have to toot your own horn or it won't get tooted. She was wrong. We don't ever promote ourselves. That's an attitude of the world. You trust God to promote you. You just serve. That's what Jesus did, our Lord and Savior. Our mindset has to be that no matter what our position, whatever we might be entitled to, what we deserve. In humility, we choose to serve. We're going to look at one more passage this morning. It's John chapter 13. And we're going to begin from verse 1. Jesus models for us serving others. In John 13, beginning from verse 1, it says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour had come, and that He should depart from this world to the Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. This is the Last Supper, the last time that Jesus will be with the disciples, his last opportunity to just be with them and to love them. He knew that his hour had come and it was time for him to go. Verse 2, and supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. See, it's time. Judas has already planned to betray him. Verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God. Now listen, Jesus knew who he was. He knew he was the I Am. He knew that he was the Word made flesh. He knew where he came from, and he knew where he was going. He knew what belonged to him, what he was entitled to. Verse 4 tells us, he rose from supper, laid aside his garments, and took a towel, girded himself. You see, you need to understand that Jesus was a rabbi. He wore the garment of a rabbi that signified his position, his authority. And he took off those outer garments and he laid them aside. And he got a towel and put it around his waist, girded himself with a towel like a servant. He laid down his authority. He laid down his position. He laid down the honor that he was entitled to, the respect that he should have had. He laid all of that down. But he didn't just lay down the authority and the power of a rabbi. He laid down the power, the authority of the King of Kings, of the Son of God. And the Son of God put a towel around his waist to serve those that he loved. See, he knew who he was. He knew what he was entitled to. Yes, we need to know who we are. We need to know what we're entitled to. You need to know that you're a child of God. You need to know that you're going somewhere, that you're a citizen of heaven. You need to know that there's coming a day that God will bless you and exalt you. But we also need to know this, that Jesus is our example. No matter what you think that you're entitled to, who you are no better than the Son of God. You need to humble yourself. You choose to do it. I was in a store one day and I hear this guy, he keeps saying, "Hallelujah, hallelujah." And the whole time he just kind of had his chest out and his nose up. And he's standing in the line to check out. Hallelujah. Three times while I was standing there, he tried to cut and get in front of other people. He thought being a child of God meant that he was better than everybody else and he should have preferential treatment. Let me tell you something. When God prefers you and gives you favor, you don't have to try to cut. They'll be calling you and moving you up. Jesus, listen, we're not supposed to take the best seat. I got to move along. I'm going to go to meddling here in a second, so we're going to keep going. After that, he poured water into a basin. He began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. You see, he humbled himself and served the disciples in doing the lowest of tasks. This was the job that nobody wants. Any of the disciples could have done it. None of them did. In this day, when they walked on dirt roads in sandals, their feet were filthy and nasty. And it was customary when you ate in someone's home, they would either wash your feet or provide a servant, pay someone to wash your feet. And I'm just telling you, Jesus didn't appoint somebody else to do it, and he didn't pay somebody else to do it. He did it himself. And you see, in the church today, there's this attitude that, well, let's just pay people to do everything. It's not the same. It's not the same as when someone chooses to serve. And we all need to serve. He washed their feet. He even washed Judas' feet. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this." And Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." I understand the sentiment. Peter did not want the hands of the master. He did not want the hands that healed touching his dirty feet. He did not want the one who commanded the wind and the waves to touch his dirty feet. He said, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus says, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." And Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." And Jesus said to him, "He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. You are clean, but not all of you," for he knew who would betray him. Therefore, he said, "You're not all clean." I'm telling you, we all need the Lord to cleanse us, to keep us clean. Verse 12, "So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, 'Do you know what I've done to you?' Nobody said anything." I think they were in shock. This is a rare moment for Peter. Even Peter didn't have anything to say. What had he done for them? He served them. He said, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you say well, for so I am." You see, he said, "Yes, I'm entitled to those titles and to that position. You call me teacher, and you should." He said, "You say well, you should call me teacher and Lord." He didn't ever say, "Oh, no, no, don't call me Lord." No, that's who he was. He said, "I am teacher and I am Lord. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." This is for us too, church. We're to serve one another. It's about following Christ's example. He says, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master." You know what he just said? Nobody's greater than Jesus. That means it applies to all of us. Nor who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Not just if you know them, not if you study about it, not if you talk about it, if you do them. He said we would be blessed if we'll do this, if we'll serve one another. Now, I want to get this out of the way. He is not talking about a foot washing. Been there, done that. I'm not criticizing that. I understand that you can have some special times of prayer and all that, and having a foot washing. He was not instituting a new ordinance for the church. He is talking about serving. You see, sometimes people do things like a foot washing to try to alleviate the responsibility, the daily responsibility that we have to serve one another. That's what he was telling us we would be blessed if we did. We are never more Christ-like than when we selflessly serve others. It's very powerful. It can change your family. It can change your workplace. It can change your school. It can change a neighborhood. It can change culture. So here's our homework. Serve others. First of all, find an extraordinary way each day to serve someone else. What I mean by extraordinary is not anything that you ordinarily do. I'm not disrespecting the things that you do every day to serve others. I'm just saying, let's go out of our way. Let's look for something beyond the ordinary, beyond any type of responsibility or obligation that we have, and let's serve others, find a way every day to serve other people that they don't expect. And one more assignment. Let's find at least one big way this week. Just one big thing we can do this week that would maybe even shock somebody, really surprise somebody that you would do for them. You see, I believe that God will use that to change some hearts. Could be 1,000 different things. Maybe cleaning somebody's house. Maybe taking somebody dinner, mowing somebody's yard. Maybe it's washing their car, helping them with their taxes. I don't know what gifts and abilities you might have, but in whatever way that you can, serve somebody in an unusual, unexpected way. Let's be a one another church where we treat each other the way that Scripture says to. We serve one another. Won't you stand with me? I'd like for our prayer partners to come as we pray. Father, I thank you that you know exactly what we need, Lord, and I pray that this morning that the word of the Lord would have free course in us and accomplish all that you've sent it to do. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit will bring it to our remembrance. Lord, that we will be convicted in our hearts as we look at your example, that each of us in response would humble ourselves and serve others. I pray, Father, especially for those who don't know you this morning, I pray that today they will come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. In His name I pray. Amen. Amen. Jesus told Peter, "Unless I wash you, you have no part in me." And it doesn't matter how good you are, how religious you are, how hard you try. Apart from Jesus' blood, apart from the sacrifice and the price that he made for you, you have no part in him. But you need to know that he loves you. He died on the cross to take away your sins. And this Savior servant wants to give you the very best kind of life. And so this morning, as we dismiss, if you have not ever really received Jesus' forgiveness and cleansing and made him the Lord of your life, I encourage you to come and let somebody pray with you this morning. I also want to encourage those of you that are struggling with pride. Let me tell you, we all have been there. But if you're struggling with pride this morning, struggling with some personal issues and having a hard time at the thought of being a servant and serving others, I just encourage you to come for prayer this morning. Let God have His way. He can help you. He can change you. whatever kind of prayer request or need you may have come to the service with today, if you want prayer, you're welcome to come. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Lord bless you.